grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please. Can I make a little bit later?
I have never seen any of you in a really long time. How do you do? I know, I can't afford it much now. Oh, it's not here. There, now I can completely do that. So I have a real hard question for you today. When you're hurt, who do you go to? Somebody that'll make it hurt less. Who else do you go to? Your parents. They're going to make it feel less. Phone? Yeah,
because if you get hurt super badly, then you could call, like, the hospital.
And you need to, right? You need to call the number if you're really hurt. What about people whose hearts are hurt? What about people that are hurting in their heart or their head? Who do they turn to?
Family.
Depends on how old they are.
Depends on what like, kinds of.
If it's like a heart disease or like your feelings.
You're right. There's a difference. There's a cardiologist, the heart doctor that will treat you if you have heart problems. But what about emotions? What about spirit?
It depends if they're like a teenager.
If
they're like a
full
grown adult there.
You'd also go to mommy and daddy. I'm
going to
tell you that too.
And maybe a therapist.
Well, the good news is that we have all these people around us, right, that can care for us even when we're hurting in spirit, but we're also when we're hurt physically as well, right?
You could also go to the church.
You could also go to the church. You're way ahead of me. So, when we go to the church, what do we seek? If we're hurting in heart, what would we seek if we go to the church? Who would help us there?
God.
God would help you? You said that? You lost the church. What about the people also in the church?
They also
help. Are they a part of God's kingdom too? Do you think that they're somehow part of God? Maybe we can all help each other heal in that way. I mean, that's maybe what being church is, right? Just to help each other heal. After all, I've heard it so many times that the church is more like a hospital than it is a place where well people go to. Left. Let's pray together. Lord, you keep people in our lives that keep us healthy, that keep us well, and you make us well through your church and through our prayers to you. Grant our Lord that we may have what it takes to be well for others and make others well in our lives as we are also part of your body. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Matharis, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Revelation. And in the Spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will bring their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these laid many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. One man was there who had been ill 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool, when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please.
be healed in the name of Jesus. You've heard this, you've seen this, yeah? You know? One of the best, some of the best examples come from Robert Tilton, a televangelist who has people call in and make donations while he vigorously and dramatically moves and shakes his hands on screen. And as he's having an on-cue Pentecost moment, babbling in unintelligible syllables, he has moments of lucidity saying things like, "We've seen midgets grow. We've seen arms and legs stop growing because of growth cells and stuff. Healing goes into those knees. The one calling about lupus, lupus, you foul devil, you bow to the name of Jesus. Lupus, you bow to the name of Jesus. You go in the name of Jesus." And we could be inspired. We could laugh too. Be a little dumbfounded and confused. Or we could be taken back, and some people could even be horrified when we see televangelists acting like this. But if I really think about this way of preaching, the common theme from the Gospels that we know, when I stop and really think about it, everything around this way just seems sad. It's sad. There's a lingering something to be desired, relationship. It's sad that people get used to the drama as if God could not be found in their quiet and ordinary lives. I am saddened and frustrated by this approach to healing. It's sad that the gospel is being used to enrich someone, while the desperate people who turn to them give all just to be free for a little bit of pain. It's sad that people who need the most medical care are so desperate that they are manipulated into dependence by false prophets and not freed by the word as it should be. It's sad that desperation and despair and hope for a miracle cure is often met with false hope. And on the next level, it's sad that our world is one in which the poorest of people cannot seem to get access to health care that in turn doesn't thrust them deeper into debt and financial trouble while enriching some. That's sad. The gospel is there to effectively proclaim God's love for us and for the lengths that God would go to in Jesus just to show us that. And we proclaim the heart of the gospel grace, the unconditional, unconditional gifts of God. Because healing in the church is more than just expelling and curing physical ailments and mental diseases. It is about overcoming the disease of sin in the world by sharing the gifts of God and the love of Christ. It is about coming to terms with the reality of sin and also being amazed by the glory of God in the world. And no doubt people like Robert Tilton believe they are doing that too. If we were in a different kind of church service, if we were used to the big production healing services on Sundays, we may be led into believing that the pastor channeled the power of God to heal every illness on the spot. And yet get an honest answer from some of those that have been wheeled up to the front. Once the energy dies down, once people have gone home, they resume their week, and the arthritis continues. The tumors are not gone, and the lupus is still causing pain. After all those stories we know about cancer vanishing and miracle healing, it's true there is often a common resulting feeling for some people. Questions, desperate questions. Desperation. I felt better there, but why wasn't I cured? Does God not love me? I love the Lord, but did I not have enough faith? And the answers sometimes do not inspire much hope to overcome that desperate feeling. Well, God has reasons. It's not time yet. Or the worst, yes, the worst. There is something not right with you. How does that make you feel? And whether we recognize it or not, we do ask these questions too. And we wonder whether we have done something to prevent God from healing us. Take Linda, for example. Linda was a normal college student studying physical therapy. She had every potential. It was limitless. She was a crew team captain, an officer in her sorority, and she volunteered with kids every week. Then she developed leukemia at 21. And while she had the best treatment available at the time in the 70s, it hadn't been helping. So her aunt took her to a tent revival. Just something to try to get her healing. That night, she went forward for healing. Do you believe? Do you want to be made well? Yes. And after a short time, her leukemia went into remission. And out of fear that her healing would go away, she withdrew from her college friends. She abstained from anything that could be considered sinful. And sometime later, after some time away from college to recover, she returned to college. She slowly resumed her normal life. She got on the career path. She stopped going to the healing services. And a few months in, she started to have symptoms again. And she had a relapse. And this time, although it was common, this time she declined rapidly. And close to death, she was at home, and her aunt came to her bedside and told her, "If you had had more faith, you wouldn't be dying." That's sad. That's really sad. Linda was a desperate young woman who needed a word of grace. Just like the man at the pool at Bethsaida, a man who suffered for most, if not all his life, from what is probably an atrophy of the legs. He was another person that needed a word of grace. Think about it. In a time without wheelchairs and smooth sidewalks, in a time when there was little accommodation for any disability, how much of a chance do you think he had? How dependent do you think he had? How much dependence do you think he had on other people? And you could call him lucky to have had a long life so far for his time if you could envy him for the life he had lived. Only God knows how long he had been sitting next to that pool. Only God knows how he had survived so long, especially considering that people like him were considered cursed or punished for their sins or the sins of their parents. But as Jesus says of the blind man in this gospel, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. This is a theme that runs through John's gospel. Sins do not bring on blindness, atrophy, or paralysis. It's just a fact of sin in the world. But often, those messages are not the ones that creep in and paralyze us with fear. Believe it or not, we sometimes wonder if we are punished for our sins when we are ill and feeling hopeless. A child is miscarried, and some people stop to wonder if it is punishment for some past sin. A child is born blind, deaf, autistic, or having paralysis, or without fully developed limbs like Tilton alluded. And sometimes it is thought, or even thought aloud, the horrifying question, what did they do? Or what did I do to deserve this? Desperate questions, asked from very desperate places. And yet Jesus sees into this man. He sees how desperate he is. Listen a different way to how he answers the question Jesus asks. Do you want to be made well? Sir, I believe that the stirred up waters would cure me, but I am alone, and I cannot get into the water myself. And by the time I have dragged myself there, it's too late. Someone quicker than me has already gotten in, and the power of the water has gone out of it. And here again, I have tried countless times. I am unable. I cannot do it, and I have given up hope. We hear things like this throughout our lives. I've received so many types of chemo, and it's not working. I have prayed. I have been in and out of surgery. I have been in physical therapy for months and even years, and I feel like I am running out of options. We've all heard these things. And it's sad because those feelings of hopelessness, that feeling of despair, are part of our world. Sin has not let go its grip on us. It has not let it loosen. It's not giving up. But God sees our sadness. Just like Jesus saw into the man lying there by the pool, God sees us in our sadness, in our despair, in our pain. And then the sadness is weakened. It's broken by the truth. The truth that what gives us pain and suffering is not given to us by God. Jesus heals him as he heals us, not all the time in body, but all the time in heart and in spirit. Jesus frees the man from his bondage to sin, and like him, we are made well, made free from our bondage to sin. The good news is that it isn't up to us to make miracles happen. It isn't up to us that for us to decide whether we are deserving of healing or punishment. Isn't that good news? It's not about what we deserve. Healing is not ultimately about us. Healing is a fact of God's glory in this world, and illness is a fact of sin in this world. Healing is not meant to convey special rank on us. It is not a reward for being good or a reward for how many prayers or anything we do. Because nothing we can do incurs the wrath or the mercy of God. That task has been taken up by Christ alone. It's God's pleasure to gift us with the tools to be well. Miracle healings, as well as medical knowledge and treatments, are also gifts of God. And again, it's not up to us to make miracles. Because the real miracle is that makes us well and makes us walk, so to speak, in the glory of God, is the gift of mercy and compassion we have in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something that changes lives? Grace frees us from our concern over ourselves and softens our hearts for God and for our neighbor. They are signs of God's love in this world for people and point us to the glory of God. Be healed, trusting that you have been made well in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.